The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So, welcome back to our class. This is the fourth week. And if anybody has any questions or comments or reports about meditation or meditation practice, what I talked about last week, we could start more informally if you'd like. Anything comes up for you? And often when people ask questions or bring something up, you can pretty much count on that it'll be relevant for someone else too. Yes, please.
So I'm not sure how I'm going to articulate this, but I did notice something in my day-to-day perspective. And when you had talked in the past about when we're caught by a thinking thought pattern or whatever, and we are mindful enough to notice that we're caught, I noticed a tiny bit of flavoring of, it got me again. But for whatever reason, it seems like for a day, I think, or maybe a day and a half, spontaneously I was noticing like as if I was playing a game of catch. And I turned it around so that I was catching the thoughts. So It was just, I think, almost like it's a mind trick. And then it was fun. So both of them have a tad flavoring of an emotional component to it.
So one is a little bit negative, a little bit...
Exactly, yeah. And I let them both go, and I just thought it was an interesting thing that happened, and it just was like for a day.
Sure, it's great. That's lovely. I mean, it's very important to see the attitudes we bring to our experience. So if you have an attitude of being a little bit upset or something about the fact that you're caught in your thoughts, it's useful to know that attitude is there. And as you know that it's there, maybe you'll be a little less caught in that attitude. You don't identify with it strongly. And that's the beginning of being free. And you don't need to feel bad about feeling bad about your thoughts. Just, this is how it's happening now. Just, and it seems to be the way you held it, kind of spaciously, that way. The same thing with the playfulness. You know, you can have a positive attitude towards it, which is good to notice. The difference is that sometimes it can be helpful to be playful. And so sometimes it certainly can be fun. And it's sometimes better than the alternative. So if you find yourself having kind of negative attitude towards your thoughts, and you can turn it around by becoming playful, by all means. Up on the stage.
I felt like trying to observe my emotions was like trying to catch little ephemeral goldfish. They're very, very light and very hard to get a hold of.
So that could be. And generally, it probably is a sign that you're not fueling them strongly. You're not so invested or involved in them. But sooner or later, something will happen, and they won't go away so quickly. So for the time being, take it as a good sign. You're holding them lightly and they come and go. But one of these days, you know, you're human. So one of these days, chances are some emotion won't be so ephemeral. And when it is, then you can do, you know, more in-depth mindfulness of it. And in the meantime, just be content that they go away and then go back to the breathing. Was it helpful for you to observe them that way and have them be ephemeral?
Am. So it's the strong ones that catch me more by surprise. So it's now I'm just sort of waiting to observe a strong one when it comes through.
Okay. So Let's start with a meditation. So take a alert, comfortable posture. And in some Buddhist meditation traditions, when they sit down to meditate, people will rock back and forth sideways and just kind of sway back and forth kind of widely and then take smaller and smaller arcs and to kind of come and settle in a what feels maybe like a balanced, aligned way. It's kind of a way of kind of maybe working out little kinks, helping you find the balance. Some people also find it's nice to rock forward and backwards a little bit, two or three times, and kind of especially feeling the weight of your body against your sitting bones and see if you can find a balance point where you feel like the weight is well balanced. And then in the beginning of a sitting, it's nice to close your eyes gently and then take a few long, slow, deep breaths. Feeling the rib cages maybe expand, ribs spread out from each other as you breathe in. And feel the rib cages collapse back as you breathe out. Take a deep breath in. And then out. And perhaps it's possible to relax your belly as you take your deep breaths. As you breathe in, your belly also kind of expands. And then let your breathing return to normal. And then scan through your body to see if there's any obvious places in your body that you can relax or soften. Perhaps the shoulders, perhaps the chest, sometimes it's possible to soften the face, relaxing the eyes, the jaws. And also at the beginning of a sitting, if there's some easy, general way you can set yourself at ease, ease up, be easy with how you are. Some people find it interesting to take a deep breath and then the exhale, silently say to yourself, sometimes can help soften, let go, settle in. So that you're a little bit more here. The idea is to be present for this time and this place. Some people find the reflection that every moment is unique. This moment you're experiencing never has been before and never will be again. So it's kind of a special time to be here, to be aware. And then to bring your attention to your breathing. Sometimes it's called the home base for attention. So bringing it home to your breath. letting yourself experience the body breathing. Maybe the movement of the belly and the chest. Maybe the sensations of the air going in and out through the nostrils. Or maybe it's a more of a global experience of the whole body breathing. Inevitably, the mind will wander off in thought. Try to stay a little alert for that happening. When you notice that, see if you can let go and come back again to your breathing. And more than just come back to your breathing, see if for these next few minutes you can entrust yourself to your breathing. Trust that it's a wonderful thing, meaningful thing, just to hang in there, hang out with breathing in and breathing out, as if it's the most useful, important thing to do now. If your mind wanders off in thought, gently, calmly, acknowledge that that's happening, not a problem. Just acknowledge it's happening, and then see if you can let go or let it recede in the background, and come back to your breathing, or let the breathing come back to you. So if you notice yourself thinking, acknowledge that that's happening. And then see if you can let go of your thoughts. See if you let your thinking mind become quiet so that you can better feel or sense or be with your breathing. As we continue the next few minutes, I'm going to change the instructions. And now, instead of letting the breathing be the home, the place you focus on, let yourself in the same way, relaxed, direct way, become mindful of yourself thinking. You don't need to let go of your thoughts. If you find yourself following your breath, let go of that. And instead, just be aware of yourself thinking. If you tend to think more in images, then just watch the images. But watch it being clearly cognizant that you're watching. Look your thoughts right in the eye, almost as if you say to them, I see you. I know you're there. You're being watched. Your thoughts fade away. Just wait for them to come back. In order to step back and watch the thoughts rather than being in the thoughts, very quietly in your mind, a soft whisper, say the word thinking. Thinking or visualizing. So you stay with knowing what's happening as opposed to being in the thoughts. If it's really obvious what kind of thoughts you're having, planning or remembering or worried, fantasy, if it's really obvious, very softly in your mind, whisper in your mind, name the thought, planning, remembering, fantasy. Just so it's seen clearly, it's fully acknowledged for what it is. And then as you're watching your thinking, see if you can notice something about your thinking besides the content. Is your thinking really compulsive and strong? Is it weak and faint, barely there? Is there a lot of pressure to think? Do your thoughts kind of float by? What can you notice about the quality of thinking itself? Not what you're thinking about, but the quality of the inner voice or the inner imaging. And then to end this sitting, you can come back to your breathing for a few breaths. Feel your breath. As you exhale, relax some more. And then you can take one or two deep breaths, and when you're ready, you can open your eyes. And if those of you in the outer hall want to come in now, in the inner hall, you're welcome to come in. So, so the task of mindfulness is to be mindfully aware, to be aware of what's happening in the present moment as it's happening. So mindfulness is not about becoming aware of what happened yesterday, better aware of yesterday, which what would mean you'd have to review it and think about it and analyze it and all that. And it's not about being aware of the future. You can't actually be aware of the future, you can just think about the future. The only place you can be aware is in the present moment. And the idea is to be here. And it's a kind of a heightened clarity or heightened emphasis on let's really rest here, be present here. One of the reasons why that is calming for people is that most stress that people live under, a lot of the stress people have on an ongoing basis, has a lot to do with their thoughts. Thoughts about the future, thoughts about the past, fantasies, imaginations about the present moment. And if you can just quiet the thinking mind and arrive more fully here in the present moment, a lot of the stress factors that are operating for people tend to relax, and then people get calmer and more relaxed. So that's one of the benefits of kind of coming into the present moment. Also, the present moment is where most of the really deep more satisfying experiences of being a human being are going to be found. So the more you can be in the present, the more you have access to the depth of who you are, the full range of your feelings, full range of your creativity, the full range of your thoughts, etc. It's a beautiful place to be. The now, one of the biggest challenges that many people have in being present is their thinking. Even if they, they're trying to be present and they find themselves, involved in thoughts, and so much involved in thoughts, they don't even, you might not even know you're thinking for a while, because you kind of get kind of a black hole. You get involved in your wonderful thoughts, and they're very compelling and certainly very meaningful, and you get pulled into them, and it takes a while. It takes a while to get out of it and find yourself. I'm thinking. That's what's happening. So, because thinking is often what takes people away from the present moment, from their mindfulness, it's somewhat common for people to have meditators to have an adversarial relationship with thinking. Thinking is bad. I shouldn't be thinking. The point of meditation is to have no thoughts at all, and those bad thoughts have to stop, and I can't stop them. In the mindfulness meditation that we do here, we don't have that attitude. Thoughts are not treated as distractions. We recognize that's what takes you away, but they're not meant to be something to be enemies or problems. Rather, there's something, one more thing to be mindful of. Just like you can be mindful of your breathing, when you can be mindful of your strong sensations in your body, you can be mindful of emotions when they come, so you can be mindful of thoughts when they come. And so rather than need to push them away all the time or let go of them, it's possible to turn the attention and look at thinking itself. I like to think the expression, look it right in the eye. And why I like that expression is that some people, when they're told, now you can be mindful of your thinking, basically just go to town with thinking. Oh, finally, I have permission to think. And then they kind of get pulled in and swept away in thinking about all kinds of wonderful things, or not so wonderful. But to look your thinking in the eye, at least in my mind, is you kind of the observer of your thoughts. You are not your thoughts, but you're actually watching the process. And that's very different than being in it. So I'm curious to hear from some of you. At the end of the sitting, I asked you to do this meditation practice of mindfulness of thinking, and to reverse it, right? Let go of your breathing every time you started breathing mindfully, and rather be mindful of your thinking. What was that like for some of you?
I found it very disconcerting because it was every time I would have a thought, I would return my attention to my breath, which is sort of how the training had gone.
So you had a habit now doing that.
I have a habit going. Uh-huh. And so it was sort of upsetting to leave the breathing behind almost.
Because the breathing was satisfying or meaningful for you and comforting something?
It felt comforting and calm.
Yeah. That mm-hmm. makes sense to me. And so it was just an exercise, so you don't have to do it all the time. But when you did look at your thoughts this way, what happened to you? What happened then besides being kind of sorry about missing your breath?
I found myself having a hard time being the one looking at the thoughts and not doing the having.
Being the thoughts.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So so it was hard to get uh-huh. that distance.
Uh-huh. So that's interesting. Thank you. Have you ever considered that before, that the difference between being in your thoughts, having your thoughts, versus stepping back and being the observer of your thoughts?
Not really.
Great. Okay. Someone else, please.
You mentioned seeing them, and I don't see them. It's my thoughts all seem to be words.
Yes.
I'm not getting any images.
Right. So I wasn't so clear. But there are two primary ways that people think. Some people think in words, and some people think more in images. Some people do combination. And so I was trying to encompass both, include both when in the instructions. So I said, if you're a kind of person who has thoughts, you think through images, then observe that, watch that, see that. Also, the idea of looking at your thoughts is kind of a metaphorical idea. So it's not necessarily that you're actually looking at them, but your whatever ability you have, it could be listening to them, works better. And whatever way you can know that you're thinking, that's what I mean by looking at them. But if you think in images, then it's a little different process.
I know this is pretty common, but when I sat and started at the beginning of the meditation, how we were concentrating on our breath, it hit me how tired I was.
Yes.
And then when we progressed into thinking about our thoughts, because of how tired I am, I think I would spiral.
So you didn't have enough ability to stay out of your thoughts. So once you focus on them, you got pulled into your thoughts and thinking even better.
Yeah, and I think my brain is too tired to try and focus on not engaging in the content.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That could be. That makes sense. It's important. It's quite understandable that this late in the evening, people are tired, and so it's a little bit hard to do this. But it's understandable. So let's see what anybody else. So here.
So before the next person speaks, I'm going to give a little mic etiquette. So the way these mics are built is if you speak into the top of them, like I'm doing now, but if you talk over the side of it or to the side, notice the difference? So just use that as a mindfulness practice. Talk, keep it relatively close and talk right into the top of the ice cream cone. Okay, thanks.
I saw right here.
Okay. So what I noticed is once I paid attention to my thought, the thought kind of faded away. Mm-hmm. And then a new thought came in, and I repeated the same process.
So how many of you had your thoughts fade away when you looked at them this way or were aware of them? So that's interesting. So how many of you, in the earlier part of the meditation, tried to let go of your thoughts and go back to the breath, but those thoughts wouldn't leave you alone? But when you turn and looked at them, you're allowed to think, and you looked at them, lo and behold, they don't want to stay around. Isn't that interesting? Yes, here on the floor here.
Yes, the thought faded away, but when you said the image, I noticed when I had an image, it was very clear, and I didn't need as much fogginess around my thoughts, I was trying to
See them better?
Yes.
So you got pulled into the image more?
Yeah, and the image actually was very clear, and then it kind of stopped everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, so some people it's harder to disconnect from images because they're much more, there's more going on. And please.
How do you distinguish between a judgment and a label?
Ah, one hurts. Which one hurts? The judgments, right? So judgment usually has to, the way most people use the word judgment usually means a value judgment of good and bad, preferable, but and usually, it hurts. There can be evaluations that are different than judgments. You can evaluate that some thoughts are not useful to have, some thoughts are a little painful to have even, some thoughts are useful to have, or feel good to have. That's an evaluation, it's just seeing it kind of very simply how it is. But judging, in my mind, has more the quality of, oh shoot, I shouldn't be doing, this is terrible, this is a terrible thought, or I'm a bad person because I have these thoughts. And the label is just very matter-of-fact, just like a little tag that says, oh, this is judging. This is a judging thoughts, or this is remembering thoughts. It's that simple. They're behind you.
I had a hard time observing my thoughts and thinking at the same time.
Mm.
It was something I would do, I would be like, oh, I'm thinking.
Uh-huh.
instead of having it all happen at once, which is feeling like a little bit how you're describing it.
Right. Yeah. It take a while to get a hang of it. The world of thinking is very tricky, and most people never really learn or study what thinking is about and how they function when they think, and how thinking functions, what the relationship to thoughts are, the phenomena, the process of it, and so if you don't really understand what it's all about, even though it's so central to people's lives, it's hard to be free of it. It's hard to be wise about it. One of the phenomena around thinking is that there are some people who believe their thoughts because they're having a thought. You know, because they never question their thoughts. I mean, it's their thoughts, they're having a thought, and so it must be true. And are thoughts true? You know, thoughts come and go easily. You know, there takes some evaluation sometimes to look at thoughts. Some people find it very disconcerting to have their thoughts go away, or even the idea that maybe they're not going to think, and there's some thoughts going to go away, because they're so strongly identified with their thinking that they think they are their thoughts. And if they're not thinking, then they don't exist. They're going to disappear. You know, something terrible is going to happen. And so it can be quite threatening for some people, the idea of the mind getting quiet. So in strong meditation, the mind can get really, really quiet, and there's very few thinking going on. And for some people, it takes a while to get used to that because they're so used to knowing who they are by telling themselves a story. And so it's a whole new world to kind of bring it into. So there are some meditation practices where the instructions are purely let go of thinking and stay on the object of meditation, like the breath. And that can be useful. It's helpful to kind of let go of the thoughts, and people can get settled in that way. What we're trying to do with mindfulness is not only become calm and concentrated on something, but learn to use mindfulness to become wise about all aspects of our lives. And so we learn to bring a kind of special kind of careful attention to all aspects. So our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings, our body, the whole thing. And for some people, thinking is a hugely important central aspect of their life. And so it can be very helpful to get the handle, hang on, how to bring attention and awareness to thinking. So that's what I'm going to be introducing a little more today. Any last things that anyone wants to say before I go on? Oh, yes, you're...
I just wanted to share, for me...
Is it on? Is the green light on?
Yes, just not talking to the ice cream cone. for me, I experienced a thought, thoughts coming up of kind of strategically planning for, you know, what am I going to do next to, achieve this goal in life. And then it was like brakes were being put on and saying, okay. And then another thought would come in, and then the brakes would go on again to acknowledge the thought. That's what it kind of felt like, brakes.
So simply acknowledging it kind of brought it to a stop.
Yeah.
You weren't stopping it. This acknowledgement to kind of...
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And then, but as soon as I would acknowledge it, another thought would come in. Uh-huh. And then I kind of realized that it was coming from a... I kind of realized that each thought was taking place under of almost like an umbrella of life being inadequate the way it is, and I need to achieve these different things. So, and that at that moment, it was kind of almost like a little aha for me to see it, things all under the same umbrella.
Great term. Yeah. So that's a great insight. Many times our thinking are driven. It's a different image, different metaphor. Sometimes there are factories for our thoughts. There's something which is fueling them or propelling them. They don't just kind of float by casually like no one's business. But they usually have some source. And sometimes for this gentleman, it was a sense of inadequacy. And that's a powerful kind of, it's almost like an emotion, it's a sense, it could be a felt sense, out of which produces a lot of thoughts. Planning thoughts, more often than not, are related to fear. And there's some kind of fear apprehension operating. And so so you can let go of the planning thoughts, but unless you've acknowledged the fear, the factory is going to keep working. The fear is going to keep pumping it out. Sometimes thoughts of the past can be connected to emotions. There could be a good emotion, you know, some delight and appreciation of what happened, and that's what keeps it going. Sometimes it can be regret, sometimes it can be anger. And you can let go of the thoughts as much as you wish, but if the anger, the resentment, or the delight in or something is still there, chances are it's just poised. As soon as, you know, you've let go of the thought, it's poised to make another one. Because it's kind of like a need. It's almost as if thinking is a symptom of something deeper going on. And so one of the ways to be mindful of thinking is to, if thoughts keep reoccurring, or they're very strong, is to look around and see, is there any umbrella or any factory, any emotion that seems to be connected to that thinking? And then to do what we did last week, mindfulness of emotions. So acknowledge the fear, if it's fear. Acknowledge the fear, name it. Feel it in your body, if it's some place to feel it in the body. Give it permission to be there. We don't want to have the attitude that any emotion is wrong to have. So I appreciated how matter-of-fact you said to a whole group of people that you're inadequate. No, you didn't say that. You said that you feel inadequate. It's a huge difference, right?
No shame.
So I appreciated that because that was a kind of a showing, you know, kind of very simple, honest, you know, this is how it is. And so that's kind of the spirit of this, the mindfulness of emotions. So I also asked you at the very end to see if you could notice something about your thinking that's different than the content. Something about the quality of the thinking. Was it strong? Was it weak? Was it a lot of pressure to think? Was it just kind of floating by very lightly? You know, there's a variety of things you might possibly notice when you focus on the quality. Did anybody notice anything that they could share with us? That makes sense, that instruction, or? Yes.
Well, a vague sense of discombobulation. And I was, one of the things I was thinking about is how I would try to practice mindfulness in the day, and it seemed like sometimes it wasn't working so well, like there could be a quality or a delicate way of being mindful. For instance, if I decide I'm going to have the intention of being mindful with typing out my password or something like that and notice how it feels and my posture and everything, I'd make an error every single time. And so if I let go of that and just think about anything that needed to be done, multitasking, I could go and do codes because I knew my body knew it. Uh-huh. But if I tried to be mindful in it, it was like, well, so I don't know if you can speak to that, if there's a delicate way of doing it. Yeah, or what?
Maybe it's kind of like learning to ride the bicycle. At first it's wobbly. It takes a while to learn your way. One of the little difficulties that some people have around being mindful is that it can get wrapped into being self-conscious, and because most people, a lot of people, there's a lot of self-consciousness in people, and so mindfulness gives you more material to be self-conscious about, you know, or more self-conscious about performance or doing it. And there's a variety of ways, and self-consciousness come into play. The idea with mindfulness is if you keep being mindful of what's actually happening, it becomes self-correcting. So with time, it might take a while, but eventually as you can just acknowledge that this is what's happening, I'm forgetting my password, I'm not quite there, just acknowledge that, and then you might find out that maybe the way you're doing your mindfulness maybe is too forced, or maybe too self-conscious, and then you can maybe find some way that's more easeful and not trying so hard. Maybe. So anybody else, the quality of your attention? Yeah. Top quality of your thinking.
So I don't think in images, I think in words, but as you asked us to acknowledge the quality, an image came up of like a ping pong ball going back and forth only at light speed. So it went zip, 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 just continually. And so I realized I felt a little bit like my brain was on speed or something. Yeah.
That's the quality of your thinking?
That was the quality of my thinking. That was representing the quality of my thinking.
Oh, interesting. And you think that's true, that you're kind of speedy in your thinking? So the quality is speedy. And that must be tiring.
Yeah.
What some people, when they start meditating, realize is as the mind kind of slows down a little bit and we start paying attention to what's going on here, they find out that the thinking mind is exhausted. You know, a lifetime of this intense thinking. And, you know, when our thinking is driven by something, like driven by fear or desire or regret or anger, and just kind of always trying to get something and trying to figure something out, there's no rest in it. And it kind of goes, the thinking can go faster than attention. It's like ahead of itself. So the person doesn't know how exhausted the mind is. And because you're thinking about the next thing, right? And this process here sometimes can show, wow, I'm really tired in there. Or, you know, you didn't say that, but you said you were speedy. So from the point of view of this practice, what you saw was great. Because when you're seeing what goes on for you and understanding what's happening is much better than having it happen and not know it. Knowing that it's happening is better than having it happen and not know it. So
as a follow-up, do you then, what do you do after you acknowledge that quality? Do you then try to intervene or to change the quality, or do you just let it
be? You're welcome to do that. I mean, if it's easy, and I think I have to underscore, if it's really easy to slow down your thinking, calm down, take a deep breath, relax. If that's available to you easily, do it. Please, by all means. It might not be so easy to do. If it's not easy to do, then the task of mindfulness is to be mindful of what it's like to have a speedy mind. Just you'd be curious. So there's probably a lot of energy. So where is that energy? Where is the ping pong going? Is it a lot of buzzing bees spinning around inside your skull? Is there tension anywhere in your body connected to that kind of speedy thinking? Are there any emotions connected to it? So to begin kind of exploring, what's this experience like? What's the felt sense? What's the sensation in my body connected to all these thoughts I have? And just hang, and then be very very tender with yourself, caring even, and just kind of be present and hold it in awareness. So sometimes people imagine the awareness is like a gently cupped hands. It just holds the experience. Because awareness is not more self-consciousness, not trying to push it away or judge it it's okay. Here's a speedy mind. Let me just hold it here and be aware of it for a while and see what happens. That makes sense? Okay. So I want to say a few things. When you meditate, do meditation, you know, as I'm teaching it here, we focus on the breathing. And it's breathing is stabilizing, it settles the mind, it focuses the mind, it's a useful place to be in the present moment. If something is more compelling or makes it difficult to be with the breathing, the instructions is to let go of the breath and do mindfulness of that thing which is challenging or strong. So you can do it for your body sensations, you can do it for sounds outside, you can do it for your emotions when they come up. But you can also do it for your thinking. And the idea is to just clearly know your thinking. If the thoughts, so you just acknowledge it, recognize, thinking is going on. In that moment of recognizing that you're thinking, it can be helpful to also notice your attitude. Because there might be an extra attitude. There might be like, not again. I'm not supposed to be doing this. Or, wow, that's a good thought. You know, I should get credit for that one. You know, whatever it might be. So there's often extra judgments, ideas on top of it. And it's just good to know that you have a tendency to do this, because then it's a little bit easier to become simpler. And the idea is to be simple. The idea is not to make this an engineering project or just say, I'm making it more complicated than it is. Let me just be simple with it and know what's happening. If the thought is relatively mild and easy to let go of, by all means let go of it. Just stop doing it if you can. Let it fade away. Or if it's acknowledged a little bit, maybe it can just recede in the background. And if it's in the background and doesn't really grab your attention, but you kind of know it's there, but you're not really focusing on it, just let it be in the background and then keep the breathing in the foreground and stay there. So if it's mild, acknowledge it, let go, and come back to your breath. And try to stay with your breath longer. sometimes your thinking is not going to be so mild. And there's more energy behind the thinking. In that case, then you can do what we did this evening, where you can actually clearly, not just acknowledge it, but in a kind of metaphorical way, turn towards it and acknowledge it fully, or clearly, or take a stand and clearly know, oh yes, thinking is happening. That's really what's happening. And you can say the word even thinking, or remembering, or planning, you know, just to, if it's obvious what it is. And there's something about that clear acknowledgement, really clear acknowledgement, not just acknowledging and letting go, but stopping and really, oh, this is what's going on, which helps the person disidentify with the thoughts, disentangle you from the thoughts, because often when the thoughts are strong, there's a way of being, we're involved in them. They're important for us. We're identified with them. And so we pull back a little bit and then clearly see it. This is what's going on. And then sometimes, as some of you said, they fade away quickly by themselves. And then you go back to your breathing. It might take a few seconds or a little longer or something just to be with it until it's no longer, you know, grabs your attention. Sometimes, you know, regularly enough, I'm sure, the thoughts are even stronger than that. And you can acknowledge them fully, you can be present, you can look them right in the eyes, I see you, I know you're there, whatever. And they just look right back and keep chatting away. And, you know, they're just like, they're like on a roll. And so when they're really happening a lot, and they can't let go of them, or if you let go of them, the same theme comes back right away. Just comes back, same thing over and over again. So in that case, that's when you want to look for the umbrella, or you want to look at it more carefully, the wider event of what's happening there. And the part of strong thoughts is that there's going to be emotions as part of it. And so what is that emotion? What is that attitude? What is that reaction that's happening that seems to give a fire to these thoughts, that keeps them going, keeps them strong? And if you can find that emotion, or find energetically how it is in your body. It's a separate, you know, it's two different exercises. One is the emotion. The second is, what is the physical manifestation of thinking? And sometimes, if it's really strong of thinking, there's a good chance there's some physical corollary manifestation aspect of thinking that's also happening. So you've probably seen that in other people, you know. You ask someone a question and they're stumped, and you see their eyebrows furrow and they're kind of like really thinking hard. And you see their muscles have come into play, are active in the thinking process. And depending on what kind of thoughts we have and what emotions are connected to it, different muscles get pulled in. And you can sometimes feel your shoulders or your belly or different places that seem active. Or energetically, an interesting, for meditators, what sometimes you can feel, maybe other places. I'm most aware of this in meditation. So I'm meditating, I'm relatively peaceful, and I'm paying attention by breath and my belly as it rising and falling, and I feel kind of grounded and settled, and I'm kind of feel like I'm in my body centered very nicely. And if anything, my center of attention is kind of my lower torso, and it feels very comforting there, good there. And then somehow or other, I remember the high school prom. Just like a single thought, high school prom. Or maybe a car goes by that sounds like the car that was at the prom or something. You know, something. And suddenly I'm back into the, how could she, why did she do that? And you know, and I see all this energy goes up, and now I'm not grounded, but all this energy has gone up into my head and can feel the movement of energy and activity. And where the active part of what myself is now, it's all in the head. And seeing that difference is quite interesting. But if you can see it, some people just live in their head all the time, so it's hard to see the difference. But that's part of what you can do. Meditation can help you calm you down so you can see what happens physically when you start thinking. So if you can find a physical aspect of thinking, then you do mindfulness of the body. So if there's any pressure anywhere. So sometimes for me, if I'm thinking a lot, it's almost as like I have a muscle in my brain, behind my forehead, between my ears, somewhere, and I feel this kind of push or pressure or tension that's there. Or sometimes I feel like a tightness, some tightening in. And so what I'll do is I'll bring this, you know, if you like this image, cup my hands of awareness and just kind of gently come in with awareness and hold it. Hold that tension, hold that pressure, hold that contraction that I feel. Not to make it go away, not to judge it, but simply to be present for it. It's phenomenally powerful to just offer your presence to what's going on. So you offer your presence to that contraction. Even though it's uncomfortable, the instinct will be it's uncomfortable, I want to get rid of it. It's more powerful just to hold it, to be present for it. And then see what happens. And chances are if you hold with awareness the pressure, attention, you're probably not going to keep thinking as actively, because then you're at the source of it. So you can hang out there with it. So if the thoughts are mild, you can let go. Acknowledge and let go. If they're stronger, acknowledge them more clearly, more fully. And maybe then they fade away, or you can let go of them. If they're more strong and they stay, that's good, because then you have the opportunity to get to explore what thinking is like. What goes on when you think? What goes on emotionally? What goes on physically? There are useful places to explore. If the art of doing this is to notice the emotional qualities, notice the physical things, without judgment, without being for or against it, without feeling bad about it, without, you know, criticizing it. And that's one of the reasons why this mindfulness practice can be very helpful for people. If they train themselves, they're trying to learn as they do mindfulness to hold things permissively, like it's okay. Not permissively, so let's just think better or more, but rather, whatever it is, it's okay. Even if it seems, you know, in conventional terms, rather unbecoming. You know, say you're angry, you know, you don't want all your friends to know how angry you are. But with mindfulness, it's okay. Just it's something else to be aware of and hold and offer your presence to. And not to be for it, not to be against it. Does it make some sense? Any questions about that? That seem clear enough? Where's the second mic? Oh, you have both of them, boy.
So when you say when I'm emotional, or like when I'm aware that I have all these emotions, I want to be... Oh, okay. Is this better?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So let me track back. So when I'm emotional, I notice the thoughts that are going on in my mind are very different from the thoughts that I have when I'm having a different emotion.
Yes.
About the same matter.
Yes.
Yeah. But as you say, it's like if we notice this emotion that's coming up in us, we want to be present with it, we want to be aware of it, but does that mean that we don't express it, but be mindful but yet express it at the same time in a mindful manner?
What do you mean by expressing it?
Like maybe you're like, I would be suddenly very angry, or just be a little irritated.
Uh-huh.
So, like, sometimes I would be mindful, like, be aware that, oh, this irritation is coming up in my body.
Yes.
And then I'm aware of it.
Yes.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm just, like, blown over, like, and then it's only after it happened that, oh, wait, yeah, I was very, you know, emotional.
So you mean expressing and acting on it.
Yeah.
So if you're angry at your colleague, you know, should you then yell at your colleague?
Not to that level, but yeah. More like I'm aware I'm angry, but I want to be present at the moment at the same time.
Yes.
So
in meditation, where you don't have to do anything in the world, you can just close your eyes and stay that way. It's there. You just want to feel it and be present for it. That's all you need to do. In the world of social world, work world, and the world out there, you have to use your best wisdom, your best judgment about what's best to do. And sometimes what's better is to excuse yourself and go to the bathroom. And say, I need to go to the bathroom. You don't have to tell them why you need to go to the bathroom, but you're going to the bathroom to breathe and just kind of let go so you don't make a big mistake at work because you're angry at your boss. So, you know, that's a wise thing maybe. Or maybe the wise thing to do is to realize you're angry and know that it's being angry doesn't help. You know, being angry, actively angry doesn't help. But maybe anger is a symptom that something needs attention. And in the, if the relationship is appropriate, you can say, you know, I'd like to tell you something. I hope it's okay. But I want you to know that I'm angry. And, you don't say you're angry at them because that then they get defensive. You say, I have all this heat and anger and it was really hard for me when you said X. And in the right place, it's just being honest and that you can find your way. So what to do in life situations, that's a whole other topic that takes a lot of wisdom to know what's the right thing. And if your emotional life, when it's been expressed, if your expressed emotional life has caused a lot of harm in the world, then the mindfulness can help you to restrain yourself. Notice it when it comes up and stay present and don't act, don't speak until you become wiser. So right behind you, right behind Diana.
Sometimes when you're thinking and it gets so intense that you're having anxiety or whatever, and then you become present for that and you become mindful of your body and how your body's experiencing and what everything is going on in your body, what then is it, how do you heal? How do you
Nice question. So if it's daily life and you're going about, again, you have to use your wisdom to know what's best. In meditation, what's next? Just more of the same. So you hang out there with it. So say you have all this anxiety connected to your thoughts. And so probably your anxiety needs attention. Just like an anxious friend might need someone to go for a walk with and just someone who accompanies them, is present for them without judgment, without trying to fix them. Just be there. So just be there and just be there for a while. And it might have to be a long time. But the idea is to stay there and try to be as simple and kind as you can to just feel it. Feel it in your body. Sometimes it can help to breathe through it. Just breathe with it. Breathe with it so you don't get caught, tripped up by it. And just that, more often than not, that process is healing in itself. It's very healing. So, thinking. I distinguish between thinking and thoughting. And thoughting is what the mind does. It's a little thought machine that's, you know, it makes thoughts. That's what it does. So, you know, it's okay. Thinking is when we get involved in our thoughts. We have a thought, and we don't just let it be there and float away. It's there. And we latch on, we react to it, we're for it, we're against it, and then we're up and running. One of the great ways to continue thinking when you're meditating, if you want to keep thinking, is to be bothered by your thinking. Oh shoot, I shouldn't be thinking, this is bad, I'm wrong to be thinking, I need to get rid of it. Any way of being bothered by it, just more thinking, just keeps adding fuel to the fire. So it helps a lot in meditation if you don't be bothered by your thinking. It's okay. The idea in meditation, don't be bothered by anything. It's just something else to be mindful of, to be aware of. And if you are bothered, then just be mindful of that. Don't be bothered by being bothered. Just kind of be it. The idea is to sooner or later try to come back to just a simple awareness of what is, at whatever stage, every way you can, you come back to that place. It can be interesting to notice sometimes if you have a lot of thoughts, and this is a nice thing to do in daily life also, to begin tracking what you think about. And it's kind of humbling for most people to start tracking what they actually think about. You know, if anybody followed me around and talked to me in my ear, next to me, as incessantly as I talk to myself, and was as repetitive as I am to myself, I would probably ask them to stop. I'd probably beg them to stop. It might get worse. And I might even wonder about the sanity. How could they keep talking that way? I mean, don't they know? They've said it now 500 times. So it's, you know, when you hear other people talk that way, you know, you can kind of, you know, you get, you know, it's one perspective. But what's really interesting about, I think, for many of us, is that even after the 500th time, it's just as interesting. And so why is that? What keeps our interest? You know, I mean, it seems like any reasonable person would get bored, but sometimes I know we do, you do, but, you know, and so my proposal to you, and you can look at yourselves, look at what you're thinking, how you're thinking, get interest in it. And my proposal is the reason why most people are so fascinated by their thoughts, so involved, so much energy for it, is this, most thoughts have you at the center of them. You're somehow the subject, the object, the victim, the whatever. You're somehow have a lead role in connection to what you're thinking about. Even if you're thinking about somebody else, it's probably in relationship to you. And that's interesting. So what's that about? And what does that feel like to be, you know, in Buddhism we call it selfing. We have all the self-thoughts, self-concern as part of it. What does that feel like? Where does that come from? What emotions is that connected to? And that becomes a door to understand ourselves in a fuller way. And also, if we begin understanding how much selfing is involved in our thoughts, sometimes it's a little bit easier to get a handle on them and not be so pulled into them and tricked into their world. I see, I know the trick now. It's this I thing. That's the trick. Make some sense? So, would you like to do another meditation? So what I'd like to do, this meditation, is to do as an exercise. So in saying that's an exercise, it's connected to mindfulness. You don't have to do meditation the way I'm going to do this exercise, but it might give you a little different perspective of how to pay attention to thoughts, kind of more of what we can notice when we're thinking, that if you start doing mindfulness of thinking, it might help you get a handle on it a little bit better and make it a little bit easier. And it might be fascinating too. So, take an alert, upright posture. And take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And let your breathing return to normal. And then we'll take about a minute or so here to just breathe, relax, settle in. Check in with how you are and let things settle down a little bit. Breathing in, breathing out. So sometimes, if you listen to two people speak to each other in a language, foreign language you don't understand, you don't know what they're saying, but you might be able to pick up something of the quality of their speech. It might be gentle and calm, it might be animated and fast, it might be angry, it might be happy, it might be soft, it might be harsh. You can sometimes notice the quality of the speech, independent of the words. So turn your attention as it occurs, turn your attention to your thinking, and see if you can ignore what you're thinking about. Let yourself think. But see if you can start noticing something about the quality of that inner voice. Or if it's in images, some quality of the image. Bright, sharp, clear, faint, distant, fast, slow. So what's the tone of the inner voice? What's the mood of the image? Is your thinking fast or slow? Gentle, kind, harsh, critical? Are your thoughts anxious or contented, easy? They come rapidly one after the other, or is there kind of a space and pause between your thoughts? Sometimes it's possible to feel the pull to your thinking, the strength by which you're involved in your thoughts. Are you strongly involved and connected, invested? Are you not so involved? Are you a little bit standing aside and aware of it? Is there strong glue between you and your thoughts? Eager to think? And then look through your body and see if there any physical location in your body that has sensations that somehow are connected to your thinking. Is there any sensations of tension or pressure or heaviness, energy, excitement, dullness? Any place in your body that seems somehow connected to your thinking. Any energy in your system. And if there is any tension or pressure or contraction, lots of energy connected to thinking, as you exhale the next few exhales, perhaps you can relax it, soften, like there's a thinking muscle that can be relaxed. Sometimes there's a little pressure on the eyes connected to thinking. Soften the eyes. Sometimes there's pressure or tension around the forehead or temples or inside the skull. Maybe as you exhale, you can soften that area. Sometimes it's the area around the heart or the chest or the stomach. You might take a few moments and see if you can soften and relax. And now that we spent a few minutes here with thinking, let yourself come back to your breathing now. Maybe take a deep breath or two as a way of reestablishing a connection to breathing. And we'll take a few minutes here to just do mindfulness of breathing, breathing in and out. If you find yourself thinking, practice mindfulness of thinking with it. If it's easy to let go of it. If it's not so easy, bring more mindfulness to the process of thinking. And when you feel ready, come back to your breathing. And then to end the sitting, you can take a few long, deep breaths. And when you're ready, you can open your eyes. So, it can be very interesting and fascinating to become more consciously aware of thinking and what goes on with thinking. It can also be disorienting and a little bit difficult also, because it's like questioning something that's been unquestioned, something that has supremacy and been very important. And being in question, is it that important anymore? We sometimes give a lot of authority to our thinking, and maybe the authority sometimes is overdone. But if we don't have our thoughts to hold on to orient ourselves, then we have to maybe look at other things and what's underneath them, the umbrella or something, and maybe we don't want to do that. Sometimes turning mindfulness to thinking in the way I talked about today is a little bit like Toto pulling the curtain for The Wizard of Oz. For those of you who saw the movie, this omnipotent kind of deity-like figure booms his voice out of this big mask on the wall. And everybody thinks it's in awe of this big character until the little dog pulls the curtain, and he's this frumpy old plump guy who is behind the curtain. So to bring mindfulness to the thoughts this way and look behind the curtain of the ideas, what you're thinking about, sometimes can reveal a lot that hasn't been noticed before. And sometimes it's very important then to be very caring of yourself, careful. Be very, you're important. What goes on in your inner life is important, and sometimes delicate, tender. And so to pull the curtain like this, like we did today, for some of you, maybe you feel a little bit tender now or unsure of yourself because it's so new. It's like opening a new territory. So the mindfulness can help. And so can learning how to be non-judgmental about it and caring and kind to yourself as you go through this. Mindfulness of thinking can be a tremendous help in life, because you can then start becoming a little more responsible for what you're thinking about. And that becomes particularly important interpersonally in social events, when if you have a tendency to interpret or judge or have bias, have prejudice involved in how you see a situation. And it's very helpful to actually watch the thinking arise and see, know that you're thinking when you're thinking, so you can see it. Oh, that's an interpretation. As opposed to kind of operating on automatic pilot as if that's the truth. And it's a very different world to begin actually be able to be present enough to watch the arising of thoughts and know what they're about. So, thank you. I hope that was clear enough today. So we've done now a lot. We've done mindfulness of breathing, mindfulness of body, mindfulness of emotions, mindfulness of thinking. It can seem like a lot. The default always is to keep it simple. And if you're in doubt what to do, go back to the breath. Don't make it complicated. Don't say, what did Gil say? How should I do now? If you start going into like, what should I do now? I'm not sure. All these instructions, go back to the breath. Just go back to the breath. And if it's obvious that you can pay attention to something else, like it's time to do that in the way we said, then do it. But if it's not obvious, go back to the breath. Keep it simple, okay? So finally, next week, we're not going to have our class because I have another commitment to do. But we'll have our last class, the fifth class, in 2 weeks, which because of my, not exactly bad planning, because I had no other choice. It's on Halloween. So you'll come in costume if you want, or something. So I apologize for doing it on such a sacred holiday, but that's how it is. So, and then after that, so we have the 2 weeks. We'll have our last class, but after that, we have here a 3-week class called Beginner's Practice Group. So for those of you who want to get more support for meditation, for mindfulness, want to be able to discuss what's going on more, get a little more teachings. Jim Podolsky is sitting here, and also Shin Kwan, who has been here every week but out of town this week. They're going to lead this support group or beginner's group, where there'll be some meditation, some discussion, you know, kind of some support for you, so if you want to continue for the next 3 weeks. And it's a nice thing to do. So there's a handout. It's purple today. Mindfulness of thinking is purple. Yes?
Is that beginner's practice at the same time?
Same time, yes. Wednesdays at 7:30. So, and if you have any more questions, you can ask Diana or Jim or Richard sitting there at the console or myself. And I'm happy to respond as best we can. Thank you.